Momentum Men is brought to you by ReUp, the creators of resources to disciple men like Jesus did, educating, encouraging, and empowering men to grow in Christ and disciple others. Featuring a platform filled with men's Bible studies for individuals or groups. Men, living by His life. Learn more at reuppodcast.com. ReUp, proud sponsor of Momentum Australia.
You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
The parent-child dynamic in a relationship, an intimate relationship, is where the wife or partner becomes the disapproving parent, and the man, the husband, he becomes the naughty boy, and so he hides things from his wife. And of course, he then becomes the adolescent. He doesn't take responsibility for his actions, and this is so, so prevalent.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Des.
Okay, well, welcome to this week's Momentum. Really great to have you tuning in around Australia. And if you're on the podcast, wherever you might be around the world, fantastic to have you here to spend some time with Tim and Des, who we'll get to in just a moment. But, you know, we at Momentum, we're all about trying to improve your life, make your life better, give you resources and equip you to do life that bit better. And one of the ways we do that is pointing you to our website, MomentumAustralia.org, for a good starting point. You'll find lots of stuff on there to help you on your journey. And at this point, I'm going to introduce my good friend and co-host, Des Kennedy, to give you some other ways of how you can reach out and get in touch and to get some more resources. Des, how are you this week?
No, I'm great. It's great to be here. And, we've got so many ways that people can reach us. One of the most amazing things is we got this number, 1-800-000-MEN. So it's 1-800-000-636. And it's provided by our friends at Caroline Connections. And it's available. You know, guys, if you're doing life on your own or you can't talk to your family about what's happening in your world, this is a safe and confidential hotline that allows you to reach out 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m., 1-800-000-MEN. So please keep that, write down that number. But also, we're really excited because we now are on YouTube. So you can see Tim and I as well as hear us, which is, you know, maybe a good thing, maybe not such a good thing. But anyway, it's available. Momentum for Men. We have about 13 shows on there already. And lots of people are watching it. So it's really, really cool. So Momentum for Men on YouTube. So that's really good. How are you, Tim?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Des. And I'm excited about this week's show. And also, I just want to say also, the great thing about YouTube and being able to see is that you get to see our guest, not just Des and I. To see our guest as well. And we'll come to him in just a moment. You know, the parent-child relationship is where we learn the basic but incredibly important parts of being a human person, from how to talk to how to function in the real world.
You know, for many people, family is sadly where hurt is first learned, where needs are not met or connections are not fostered.
All parents make mistakes, that's for sure. So parental wounds are a normal part of the human experience. But how do we know if we have an unhealed wound from our parents? And how do we start to heal those?
To explore this in detail, we're joined by once again by a really dear friend and counselor, Richard Fay. Richard, welcome back to Momentum.
Thank you, Des, and thank you, Timothy. This is one of the few times where I am the guest with the most hair amongst the three of us. So it's good to be with you both.
So the people who are watching YouTube will see what you mean.
Yeah, I don't have much, but I'm winning.
It's hanging on there for dear life. So, Richard, let's just get straight into it. You know, when we first start talking about parental wounds, for example, or some people might be more familiar with the terms, you know, the mother wound and the father wound. What do we really mean by that?
In some way, a parent, mother or father, has failed to represent what every person needs when they're developing those first, particularly first 7 years of life, but right up to about age of 18, the need that they have for their own sense of empowerment and worth and value as a human being and safety as a human being. They get different gifts from a mother than a father. And both are necessary. Without them, a person grows up with either a mother or father wound or a mother or father hunger, which is slightly different but very similar. And these things can haunt a person right through their life. And I'm speaking, of course, from the perspective of a male. I recognize wounds from both of my parents and am quite happy sharing them and how they've played out. But yes, these things are very, very common, not universal. And I have once made the mistake of assuming that a group of men I was speaking to had a father or mother wound or hunger, and nobody in that group did. So that was an extraordinary group because the statistics tell us that Around about 72% of Australians do.
Oh, really? That high?
Which, wow. That high.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. So, Richard, before we launch into generics, let's stick with your journey then quickly. What would you say have been some of the key wounds that you've journeyed through from your parents?
I'm just going to briefly talk about two opposite wounds. One is the wound of abandonment, which is where you experience the withholding of love or the withholding of a whole human, a parent from your life. And the other is engulfment, where there is the swamping or controlling of a person's life, the smothering. Now, I did experience engulfment from my mother, who used me as a foil for her own unhappiness in her marriage with my father. And so there was this sense of emotional responsibility to calm and ground my mother, because if my mother's distressed, then of course there's no one to calm me down. So suddenly I take on a parenting role as a child of my mother, so I will care for her. So engulfment and abandonment are two opposites. And that was one that I experienced with my mother. With my father, it was much more a wound of not having worth or value, because my father himself didn't know his own worth or value, because he himself had experienced abandonment from his mother at birth and his father. And of course, I don't blame my father for the things that I learning to forgive my father when I understood what he went through was a huge part of me being able to accept my father for who he was and where he was. And learning my mother's loneliness was, of course, why she leaned on me. It's funny, you know, a child doesn't ask the question, should I? They simply know I must, because I must have some control over my environment. So they take on these wounds of engulfment or abandonment.
Wow. What age then did you kind of realize that there was this happening? And did you manage to reach that point? I'm not sure if your parents are still alive, but have you reconciled that with your parents? Have you had that discussion?
Wonderfully reconciled with my parents before they died. They haven't been alive for many decades now. But yes, I had a good, healthy, wonderful relationship with both parents as an adult. But the transition was in late adolescence, early adulthood, because it's when we step out, I'm laughing because you'll laugh at what I'm about to say. It's only when we step out of our family of origin sometimes that we notice that the dysfunction that exists within our family of origin, yeah. Because up until then, it's the only thing we know, therefore it's normal. Mm. And usually we blame ourselves or we blame everyone around us. We project or we introject everything that's wrong in our family and react and don't respond, but react off it. So we are volatile or shut down. And it's simply because we don't know anything else. And it's when I started to step away from my family of origin and I noticed, oh my goodness, my family's actually quite crazy. And I am too. And that's why my laughter. And then I had to confront the ways in which I had been wounded by both parents.
So how did you go about doing that, just following that through? Did you just sit them down and say, hey, I'm not happy about this or I don't understand this? What did that look like?
Well, I was in an organization called YWAM at the time, a mission organization. I was living in the Philippines, and I wrote to my father and I said to him, this is back in the day before email. So, you know, you send a letter off and you wait weeks for it to come back and you wonder what on earth reply you're going to get. And it was, I remember feeling, this isn't my job. I shouldn't have to mend what is broken here. I'm the son, not the parent. Yeah. But I also recognized that if I waited for my father to do it, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I took the initiative and I wrote to him and I said, I do not trust you. I do not love you. I hate you, but I don't want to. In actual fact, I loved him as well, because you can't feel hatred towards something that doesn't have a huge shadow in your life. Yeah. I don't want to feel this way. I want to know you. I want to understand what's affected you in your life. I want you to tell me your story. I've never stopped to listen to your story because I've been so ambushed by your pain and how it's affected me and my pain that I've never had a chance. And of course, from the distance of thousands of kilometers and the time it took for a reply to come, the letters went back and forward over a period of almost a year. And we grew to forgive one another, love one another, acknowledge and understand one another. By the time I returned to Australia, our relationship had changed without a conversation, without a phone call. Mm-hmm. And I often say to people, write handwritten letters to your parents if you're seeking to restore something, or with your children, yeah. if you are a parent. Take the trouble of going beyond an email or a Facebook message of some kind and actually handwrite a letter, because you can craft that letter. You can think very carefully about what you want to say, and it will be read probably 5 or 6 or 7 times. Mm. And then there's a lot more clarity. The way in which we used to communicate with written correspondence is much more careful and yes. considered than the ways in which we often fire missiles in texts and and messages these days. Mm. And so that's what I often recommend to people yes. where there's a lot of damage.
Wow, that's profound in terms of rebuilding relationships with parents. That's just amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Richard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really profound 10 minutes to start the show. And thank you for stepping into that space of vulnerability and transparency with us. And you know, that sets us up now. I mean, not that you didn't have qualifications before, yeah. you've validated exactly what we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing your own experience. So we are talking parental wounding. Let's start with mother wounds then, Richard. I mean, I read somewhere that the mother wound comes from a mother who has her own wounds that have not been healed. I mean, judging from what you just shared, I would argue it's probably mother wound and father wounds. It's probably the same. But yeah. Is that generally the case, do you think? Are most mother wounds and father wounds passed down generationally from their parents and then to our parents and vice versa?
Yes, they are. And this is how generational trauma shows up. If generations ago, and often because of the last 100 years, it's usually trauma based on exposure to war or dislocation or both. Dislocation because we've come from another country and we've lost all the supports and we've just struggled to try and integrate into a new society, or war, or as I said, both. And often it comes with things like poverty and lack of time and lack of opportunities to learn and all kinds of variations on that. Sometimes it comes with illness. A mother is sick and of course she can't care for her child. She might die of cancer when that child is little, and of course there's going to be a mother wound there that the mother never intended.
Yes.
And so life itself will bring wounding. And sometimes a parent will wound a child by doing the exact opposite of trying to wound the child. In other words, I once had and I'm going to a father here, a man come to me who said, my father never let me work on the farm. He said, go and play with your friends. This is man's business. And even as a teenager, all I wanted to be was on that tractor, and he wouldn't let me be on the tractor. And I felt so dismissed by my father. And I said, you ever asked your father why? And he said, no, I never did. So he went and asked his father, and his father said, when I was a boy, every weekend, every school holidays, I had to be on the tractor, I had to help my dad. I never got any time with my mates. And I vowed that I would never do that to my wow. son. Yeah. And wow. as a result, he ended up wounding his son by trying not to wound his son.
Right.
It's wow. almost like, can I just say, breach of that love is baked into the system. It's okay. If you're a parent listening to this, don't be too concerned. You aren't God. And therefore, yes. you're going to fall short of who God is in the way in which you love your child. And grace abounds. And so your child will find the resources if you keep the relationship open and honest. Mm. So don't be too concerned about wounding. Otherwise, you end up doing what that father did of that man I was just speaking about.
Yeah.
But a mother wound, yes, it can happen from either way. It yeah. can happen from her own experience as a child, or it can happen from all kinds of variabilities of which she has no control over.
And mm. one of the things you said was important is that they don't necessarily know that they're doing it.
No. Oh, no. It's often not intentional.
Yeah.
Even if it seems mean or cruel or nasty, it's coming out of something very unconscious in the person, mm. usually.
Mm. Yeah.
Richard, can we have a quick look before we go to a break? Can we have a quick look at the key roles of mums in our lives? Because obviously mums and fathers, they bring specific things to their kids, right? And they're meant to. So let's, before we go to a break, just look at some of the key roles that mums bring into our lives. What are they meant to impart, or meant to, if that's the right word, impart into their kids?
You are you. You are treasured and precious because you are you. Nurturance, intimacy, warmth, value, belonging, relationship, the capacity to be able to deeply connect with another starts in the loving gaze between a mother and her baby while that baby feeds. The mother attunes herself, and I watch my own daughters-in-law do this. A mother attunes herself to the needs of that child. Oh, she needs a change. He needs to be fed, and so on and so on. And so the needs don't go unmet. The needs are met, and that child grows up to know how to deeply connect with other humans, how to soothe themselves, ground themselves, calm themselves, give themselves nurturance. And those are crucial in being regulated emotionally and being able to engage in healthy relationships.
So let's bounce off the back of that in the second part of the show, and then maybe identify some things that might, for our listeners, indicate that there might be a mother wound for them if they didn't receive some of that in their childhood. This is Momentum. We're chatting with our good friend and counselor, Richard Fay. As we go to a short break, I encourage you to check out our website. That's MomentumAustralia.org. And we'll be back with Richard in just a moment.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org.
Okay, welcome back to this week's show. It is wonderful to have you tuning in with us, Tim Adairs. And our special guest this week is good friend and counselor, Richard Fay. We're talking about parental wounds, and specifically at the moment, mother wounding in particular. So Richard, we just kind of ended the first part of the show with some thoughts around what mums invest into our lives. Let's look at then some things that might identify a mother wound in our life. And of course, that's going to affect sons and daughters differently, right? So maybe we start with the guys. And if we are looking in our lives and trying to identify whether we have a mother wound or not, what might that show up as in our lives?
One is fairly obviously a sexual addiction. So a man is obsessed with getting comfort or love. They want to be wanted, but they don't want to want. In other words, they can't take responsibility or commitment for a relationship. They just want to be loved by somebody. What happens so often is they end up in a parent-child dynamic. The parent-child dynamic in a relationship, an intimate relationship, is where the wife or partner becomes the disapproving parent, and the man, the husband, he becomes the naughty boy. And so he hides things from his wife. Of course, if he's got a porn addiction or a sex addiction, he hides that because he still wants comfort, because suddenly he doesn't desire his wife, because no one desires their mother, not if they're healthy. So you can understand where that can go. That can get terribly messy. And of course, he then becomes the adolescent. He doesn't take responsibility for his actions. And this is so, so prevalent where that takes place. There's another one, and that is, it can be strange. A woman, and this is some of my own story, because I was engulfed by my mother, and her emotional needs were so great for me as a boy that when my wife got very, very sick and we were engaged to be married, I distanced myself because I felt overwhelmed by her needs, even though they were honest and legitimate needs. And so I didn't want to get too close to her because I was overwhelmed by caring for her. And not because my fiance, now wife of 40 years, that her needs were overwhelming, but the boy in me experienced what it was like to have a woman depend on him. And of course, it was overwhelming for that boy. And that shows up in the man, and the man doesn't take responsibility for his wife's simple, basic, practical needs. And she ends up doing everything for herself. She buys her own birthday presents. This is where it gets really bad. She parents on her own. He opts out of all the responsibilities of caring and supporting her and thinks, oh, you know, that's woman's business. No, it's human business to care. And so there's another manifestation of it, where a man is terrified of being controlled by his wife, and so becomes very defensive whenever she asks anything of him. Oh, you can't ask me that. That's not fair. And of course, again, you can see a parent-child dynamic, but it could simply just be a defensiveness around any question or any approach because he fears he's going to be controlled because he might have had a mother who was very controlling, to be honest. And so you can see how these affect, and as I said earlier, intimate relationships are the things that most often get affected within a mother wound.
So does the same thing apply in a father wound? Is it a parallel there?
It's quite different. A father wound is quite different. Insecurities show up where there's a father wound. So, and I say this, whether it's a boy or a girl, a father gives identity to a child. Now, this might sound like, doesn't a mother? No, a mother gives nurturance and worth and value to a child, but a father gives identity. What do I mean by that? For a girl, it's you have intrinsic worth and value because I love you. So you don't need to TikTok your life away, curate your existence so that people are going to like you because you're already worthy of love. You don't need to do that. And you don't need some skanky boy to tell you that you'll get love if you give your body to him because you already have worth or value. You have dignity in who you are. I give that to you as a father. And to a boy, you've got what it takes. I back you. I believe you. You don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to shrink back. You can step up. You've got it. I believe in you. And you know what? I'm not going to define what that looks like. I'm not going to be the ugly parent on the side of the football field saying, you've got to succeed or else. No, no, you will succeed however you're meant to. And I will align myself with your passions, your interests, and I'm going to champion you. I'm going to cheer you on, and I'm going to tell you, well done, good and faithful. I believe in you. Wow. And that boy grows up to be a man confident in his in himself and usually professionally quite successful. He doesn't shrink back. He's not afraid. He's not timid. He's not anxious. He doesn't apologize for himself over and over because he's got the strength his father gave him, his own sense of intrinsic worth.
Let's stick with the father wound for a second then, and let's look at the impact of that on our daughters. For those of us who are fathers listening right now, what impact will that have on our daughters, the father wound?
Well, unfortunately, the girl with a father wound will go looking for often, not always, but often a man much older than her, a man who's going to be able to protect her, care for her, shelter her, love her. And of course, you end up with some hallmark fantasy of what that looks like. And so she'll often overlook her own empowerment just to seek to be cared for because she desperately wants that strength from someone. She doesn't know her own strength. And so she desperately wants someone to give that to her. And then she'll resent, strangely, a man who does that. This is the contradiction, is that as soon as she finds a man who's going to give her all the things her father never gave her, she'll resent that man because she will feel like the unfulfilled longing of her childhood, the anger that she feels towards her father, which she could never often feel towards her father, she'll feel towards her husband.
Mm. Wow.
Who are you to control me? Who are you to tell me, well, this is obviously the script that started the relationship, looked like a fulfillment of an unmet need in childhood. But, of course, the husband or the partner cannot be the father. And so immediately if he enters a relationship believing, oh my goodness, here I can be the knight in shining armor. I can be the white on the white horse. I can rescue you. I can look after you. I can provide you for you. Very quickly, she'll turn on him, get very angry with him and go, you're trying to use power over me. How dare you do that? And he's confused. And he goes, wasn't that the contract? That's what you said you wanted.
Yeah, that's right.
And of course, he doesn't know all the anger that she'll then project onto him is actually a foil for what she feels for her father but could never express to her father.
So the guy who's in that situation, what advice would you give to any of those people in terms of resolving those issues?
Well, when you are an adult and you notice any energy show up in you that isn't grounded or safe, that is projected onto another, that is expecting someone else to fulfill unmet needs, the sense of deep dissatisfaction with life, and we blame a person for it, or we long for a person to give it to us, that's an invitation to ask, is this coming from my mother or my father? Now, it might sound like I'm very Freudian in saying it, but it is simply true that it's coming from our origins. Look at a tree. Its roots grow down before the shoots come up.
Yes.
And so the roots are the origin of the tree. And of course, the roots are under the ground. They're hidden. They're dark. We don't see them. They're hidden from us. And yet that's where the work must be done. And so the reflection back. Now, that's if we're the adult. If we're recognizing as a parent and we don't want to reproduce the wounds that we've got in our own children, it requires us to allow the child to be the child, whoever, whether it's a son or a daughter, allow them to find their own voice in the relationship. Now, that doesn't mean they run roughshod and there's no boundaries. Of course, there are boundaries in parenting. There must be. But you don't define a child, because every child is unique. If you parented more than one child, you would know this.
Yes.
Every child is unique, and you cannot parent children based on some cookie cutter approach. It won't work. And so you discover, and as a father, recognize you need to be present in that child's life, and you need to be available for the child to express themselves to you and respond appropriately to their needs.
Yeah. One final thought, Richard, and we're getting close to wrapping up, but a couple of things I want to just target before we wrap up. As Des said, if people have identified this, obviously, you know, whether it's a wound or some reaction as opposed to a response that keeps happening in their life, I suppose obviously seeing someone like yourself, a counselor, is a good starting point. This idea of reparenting ourselves, I mean, that seems to have kind of been around for a little while now. Can you explain that, and do you think that has benefit as an adult trying to deal with this stuff, to kind of reparent the little boy or little girl inside?
I would want to go somewhere which I can't avoid going, and that Jesus uses a very dangerous word for God, and it's the word Abba, Papa, Dada. It's not just Father, as we so often translate it. It's funny, you know, because I called my father Father, which was a terribly Victorian English way to speak to him. and Dad can be, or the old man, all of this language that we use, but Papa is a beautiful term that gets the closest we have to Abba. And if Jesus is willing to use a very dangerous term for God, then he's implying something, and that is that being a father is a good thing. And being a father is a safe thing. To reparent a younger self is to develop a relationship of nurturance and care. I often say to men, find a photo of you at the age of 6 or 7. What's the emotion you feel when you see that photo? I've often had men say, oh, he's such a child. He's so immature. And I know, we've got some work here to do.
Yeah.
Because when a man says, oh, that darling boy, I feel such affection for him. Then I know we're going to do good work. Then I know that man is ready to be a healthy man.
Wow, that's good.
And then, of course, you become aware of all the emotions that show up in you and go, that's not mine, that's his. I don't have to reprimand him. I don't have to rebuke him. I can go, what's going on? Why are you not safe? What do you need to know from me? Because I will be the adult. And of course, then I can respond in a mature and adult way without becoming identified with the unprocessed emotions of my much younger self. Now, that's complex work. And as you said, Tim, it does require the work of a therapist often to help facilitate that. That's very difficult, especially early on, to do on your own.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, we were never going to do this justice in one show. We've scratched the surface, but I think we've covered a fair bit of ground too, Richard, with what we've just talked about: parental wounding, mother wounds, and father wounds. We're going to leave it there for today. If you would like to get in touch with Richard, richardfay.com.au is his website, and our website is momentumaustralia.org. If this has stirred up anything in you, encourage you to reach out to us at Momentum. We can forward your details or get you in touch with somebody that might be able to help you here. And of course, as Des mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Momentum Care Line, 1-800-000-636, 1-800-000-636, or MEN, is our specific care line. If this has stirred up some stuff or you want a confidential chat around that, by all means, reach out to them. We're here to help you here at Momentum. Richard, thank you so much for your time, mate. There's been a wealth of stuff in there. We will get the guys to go back and re-listen to that and look forward to the next time you're on the show to unpack this some more. God bless you.
Wonderful. Great to be with you.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward with Momentum.